my work was presented at MIT May 21 by Ken Shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
It's in regards to charge cluster technologies. And what Ken does is do the metal samples on a microscopic level, but he can actually freeze in time and space radioactive waste. So we feel that we have a commonality in getting rid of the nuclear problem.
He can freeze nuclear waste in time. What do you mean by that?
Well, he has a way of discharging in a chamber some radioactive materials with high voltage, and it seems to what appears is a similarity on a microscopic level to the SEMs and X-ray diffraction of my metal samples.
But basically what it's doing is rendering the dangerous radioactive material harmless?
Yes. I was with him also in 1997 before. It was actually sponsored by the Star Trek people and Larry King. And we had these meetings where we were talking about Ken Shoulders' charge cluster technologies and how it could be so important in getting it for the use in elimination of nuclear radiation.
Yes, we living near Yucca Mountain would be very thankful. Is this going to be presented to people who count?
Yes, of course.
Well, is it an alternative to storing the mass we have of this dangerous stuff in Yucca Mountain?
I do believe so. I really believe in Ken Shoulders' work. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. I met Ken, met his teams and that, and we met politicians who are very interested in this.
All right. Are you up on this, David?
Yeah, I've worked a lot in this field in nuclear fusion and the nuclear sciences, and that Hal Fox at Cold Fusion and Associates, part of the Cold Fusion work, they were able to stabilize nuclear waste by transmutating it into these more stable states where it doesn't emit, the various forms of radiation. And also now there are these new fuel cells in England, a company that I've worked with, can take nuclear waste and just like hydrogen fuel cells, it actually produces electricity, and as it produces electricity, it becomes more and more stable. But rather than using nuclear reactions to produce heat and boil water, this just relies on the photoelectric effect, which is how Einstein won the Nobel Prize, which is the transference of, radiation or electromagnetic energy into electricity. And there's many methods out there done. Now, U.S. Ecology is the company, one of the largest contractors for handling nuclear waste. When I approached them about Hal Fox's discovery, which is very similar to Hutchison's...
David, let me just slow you down one second and ask you, that transformation you're talking about, if it doesn't occur through boiling water and that kind of a heat transfer with a reaction,
mm-hmm.
I'm not understanding how it does work.
Well, the way it works is, do you understand the photoelectric effect, which is how Einstein won the Nobel Prize in the beginning, is the transference of electromagnetism either through light or through radio waves or through even gamma emissions or beta emissions, which is just pure electron emissions. What happens with unstable material is it's emitting radioactive waves. Now, those waves can be converted directly to electricity. It's very similar to how solar panels pick up photon energy and convert it to electricity. And there are ways of
you're saying the frequency of the emission from this material can be captured the way the sun is captured by a cell and converted to electricity.
Yeah, absolutely. There are certain nuclear reactions. For the last show we did, I talked about helium-3. Helium-3 doesn't even use heat. It converts everything directly. It produces charged protons. When you fuse helium-3, you produce a huge amount of energy. It's 9 times more efficient than uranium per fuel weight, and there's no radioactivity, and it doesn't boil water like uranium does. You slow fission uranium to produce the enormous heat. You boil water. Whenever you boil water, you lose 60% of your initial energy, and then that's how nuclear power works. And then
yes,
you have all this radioactive waste to deal with. Well, the waste, there's different types of waste. There's high-grade waste is the pellets, the uranium pellets. And that stuff is still producing energy, and it's still radioactive highly when they, dispose of it. Now, all those radioactive emissions can be either transferred. You can use the photoelectric effect to get the energy out of it. And there's also other methods that people in the fuel cell business are finding that they can extract energy directly out of it.
How much energy are we talking about?
Well, a certain certainly, from what I know of this particular company that's in England, I have introduced them to Air Products. Air Products is the largest hydrogen manufacturing company in America. And Air Products is very interested in this particular fuel cell because they can take ordinary garbage, which, you know, gives off methane, and they can produce
energy. All right, I want to understand the scale, David.
Yes.
I ask how much electricity...
It depends how radioactive the material is and how much energy, how many emissions the material is giving off, because you have high-level radioactive waste, you have low-level waste.
In other words, what would be a typical practical application? Could you put together something that would equal a large electrical plant today, a nuclear plant? What are we talking about?
No, I think these fuel cells are more like things that could maybe run appliances in your home, your computer. I mean, there's many times, and this is kind of funny, but I look at my iPod, and I can't believe how much power this thing puts out, and I think there's got to be nuclear waste in this thing. I mean, how does it... how do you recharge an iPod and it pumps out sound like that? It just doesn't make sense. And I think those are the kind of places you can make these small fuel cells, you know, for a single lamp, a computer, you know, things like that. But
that's why
companies aren't interested in the weight, because it doesn't have that much energy.
I understand. However, wouldn't such a device in a consumer's hands with nuclear waste driving it be kind of dangerous?
It would, and that's, I think, for that particular transmutation of nuclear waste issue into energy, they're probably going to do it in cells, and then the power leaves the station. I mean, right now, most of our nuclear waste in this country is stored on-site at the nuclear power plants because they have not approved Yucca Mountain.
That's right.
And nobody wants the stuff anywhere, so it ends up staying on-site, and the workers, of course, get, you know, affected by radioactivity, and then we use it in, you know, of course, in the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan. We're tipping, you know, we're sending all of our bullets and munitions loaded with, nuclear waste tip bullets, and we're trying to get rid of this stuff everywhere. But it's lower level emissions of radioactivity that are of less interest to the big power companies, but there's still a lot of energy you can extract, and yeah, it would have to be in a safe place. So nuclear waste dump sites would be a place that you could extract energy directly, and also there are many other forms of waste. I mean, hospitals produce huge amounts of nuclear waste. They're the second largest producer in the country.
And with correct transmutation, could be used for power.